Okay, we have board time on Wednesday, December 10th at 3:56, or excuse me, 2:56.
Well, I guess we'll start off with the tough things first.
Minutes?
Minutes.
Yeah, I've got some changes to make on them.
Yeah, we went 3 weeks with no changes, so we're due.
What I would suggest is just let me go back to Jennifer and bring them back next week in order to get the action correct on this.
That's far
okay?
Off.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say that far off.
I mean, you say you're wrong.
No. Okay. I just want to make sure that they reflect accuracy well. Is that okay?
Okay. Well,
so if that's
okay,
next week.
Everybody will put that off.
All right.
Executing of a quick claim deed.
Yeah, that would be Chris Horn.
I'll explain briefly. The board has previously vacated a road near the Timbers apartment complex by Highland Way. And as a part of the normal process you go through under 3687, you contact the utilities. You give them the opportunity to request us to reserve an easement. And we went through, followed that regular procedure. The effect was the board vacated the road and yet retained a 60-foot easement for ingress, egress, and utilities that, to a large extent, took away the purpose of doing the vacation. So the adjoining property owners who had an interest in this land got together with the utilities, and they got quitclaim deeds to narrow the right-of-way from 60 to 40 feet on one side. And I've reviewed all the deeds from Clark Regional, from CPU, and Northwest Natural Gas did not have one. AT&T, or actually it's CenturyLink, have all relinquished any interest they have in the 20 feet, and the Timbers has relinquished any interest it had in the access easement. So the effect of all of that is there's been a request that the board release the 20-foot easement of the 60. So there'll still be a 40-foot interest for the private property owners and the utilities to be able to be in that area. It's just that 20 feet will be freed up. It seems to make sense. It's consistent with 3687.110. And so I'm asking the board, and by the way, there's a sale of property that's sort of waiting on this. So I've been asked by the property owners to present this quitclaim deed to you. As I say, I've reviewed all the deeds as a prerequisite to doing this, and I think there is no risk on behalf of Clark County, and all of the utilities that have an interest have already indicated they're satisfied.
I assume that you're always so thorough, Chris, that Public Works, Heath Henderson, is fully informed on this, and he's fully on board, and he's already reviewed it.
Yes. In fact, it came to me from Pam Mason from Public Works, and
okay.
So we've been working with Public Works to go through this process.
Okay, but
Is there any monetary value involved?
The 3687 does have authority for the county as a part of the original vacation process to charge a fee to the extent that we had to spend money in building these roads, and if they're commercial land. In this case, we'd already vacated the road, and all we're doing is releasing an easement interest that we had reserved. I don't even know if that statute applies, but nobody has identified any monetary compensation that would apply in this case. In fact, that would have normally been something we would have charged as a part of the vacation itself.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Let me do a comparison on that, and that would be Monet Gardens. If we vacate that road by request of those owners, we vacate that road. What makes this different than what we're doing here?
Oh, there's no road there to vacate.
And separates it from
a gift of
public funds.
Regency Place, maybe?
Well, it's actually a publicly owned right-of-way in that. We actually own the right-of-way.
Yeah, there's no road there.
And you're talking about in Monet's Garden. It's an unbuilt right-of-way that was conveyed to the county.
Yes.
If we go through the process, the board can vacate any right-of-way if it doesn't serve a public purpose. The statute requires, it authorizes but does not require the vacation if it no longer serves a public purpose.
Okay.
But if it's serving or will serve a public purpose, you're prohibited from vacating it. So
okay.
It's just a process you have to go through and do the analysis at the time. So I can't say whether it's similar or different until you really generate the facts and find out what the purpose for which it was originally dedicated is, and then whether or not that's changed, because a lot of the roads evolve in different ways, and we find out that original rights of way that we obtain or we buy, we don't need by the time they get through, because alternate roads have been built in the interim. So I can't tell you more.
This one is different because of why?
Well, we'd already vacated the road. We've already gone through the vacation process. We just had retained an easement because it was requested by the utility holders. So
when did we do that?
Last year.
Oh, okay.
And
because I thought this is one that the people were requesting us to
well,
vacate.
That's what I'm saying. They got together and decided they don't need the full 60 feet. They only need 40. So they're asking us to release the 20-foot.
Yeah.
We reserved an easement. They're asking us to release that reserve, if
so
that makes sense.
We have previously vacated the road.
Yes, we've already vacated
it. And now we're giving a quick claim deed to the right-of-way where the
well, we're not,
utilities
not,
are?
The quick claim deed will not actually convey it to a particular person. I mean, we believe it's probably the Timbers. But under the law, when we do a vacation, we don't say who gets the road. The law, to some extent, provides for it going to adjacent property owners. But there's a whole number of cases that apply, and it may go in different directions. So the safest move and the most conservative path for the county to chart is to say that we quit claim the property to the legal owner, and that'll be a determined thing in the future. And we can say we believe it to be the Timbers, but that makes it clear that whoever has the legal right to it is entitled to this limited easement interest.
So it's a release.
Yes, it's a release of our interest of only 20 feet of the full 60.
Okay.
Do you need a motion for this?
Yes, if the board is in agreement.
Okay. And can you go ahead and propose the wording?
Certainly. If the board approves, the quitclaim deed would be to approve Clark County's release of 20 foot of a 60-foot easement that was reserved under Chapter 3687 of the RCW to the legal owner believed to be Timbers Apartments. Any interest that the remaining interest that the county has, as described in the legal description, this day of December 2014.
So moved.
Okay.
You so moved it.
I so moved it. That's my motion.
Well, I'll second then.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay. We'll get that signed.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Certainly.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is state budget fair funding. I spoke with each of you, except you, Commissioner Stewart, in one-on-ones. I think you had to leave for another meeting. Our fair manager, John Morrison, who is also the president of the Washington State Fairs Association, has been made aware that the governor's budget zeroes out the money we receive from the state. It usually is in the $90,000 to $95,000 range. We use that money for premiums and awards for kids that participate in 4-H and other programs. Certainly with the size of our fair budget, this is not a deal breaker. It won't cause our fair to go away, but certainly it'll be a financial impact that will probably translate to a general fund burden. There are many fairs in the state, however, that rely heavily on the monies they receive from the state, and it's very likely if this sweep of these monies is completed in the next budget cycle that potentially half the fairs in the state will dry up and go away. So John Morrison drafted this letter, hoping that you would sign it, going to the governor, asking that he reconsider sweeping that money out of the fair budget.
So the five words here that are the action bottom line of this letter is found in the second to the last line of the where on the right side where it says leave the fair fund intact. That's the bottom line, mm-hmm. And I agree.
I would imagine that Clark County will be joining with the other counties also. This is our
individual shot in support of the program, and the other members of the Washington State Fair Associations, we're talking to other counties, and we're hoping that we can have
do we need a motion or just simply consensus?
No, I don't. I think if we circulate it for signature, that would be great.
I think we
make a motion for everything else, maybe we should.
It wouldn't hurt.
All right. I move that we approve and sign the proposed letter here to our governor that encourages him to leave the Fair Fund intact. That's a motion.
Commissioner Stewart, would you second that motion?
Second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you.
I almost misspelled my name.
And we've also contacted Mike Burgess on this, and he'll be here on Friday, and hopefully we can add this to our legislative agenda.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
We can legislative agenda. Next thing on the agenda here. That's Friday morning, is that right?
Yes, we have the breakfast, and then we have a follow-on with our legislators, yeah. Just like we did last year.
Our conversation with the drug and alcohol abuse people this morning. I'm looking forward to giving direction to our legislative lobby to include some issues on marijuana that we had concerns at the meeting this morning.
I'm sorry, two-pager.
Pass that.
Okay, so Axel, are you prepared to talk about?
Yes, sir. So what you have there is just a draft of kind of the outline of where we'll be going with our discussion with the legislators on Friday morning. Friday morning at 7:30, you all are reserved to go to the Legislative Outlook breakfast at the Hilton. Typically, what we've done the past 3, 4, 5 years, I can't remember how many, is book a room at 9:30 at the Hilton so that you all can meet with your delegation. We've had a pretty good response the past few years, and this year is no different. I think we've got 7 or 8 RSVPs so far, so we should have good representation there of our members. And the kind of the list that you have in front of you, it's a mix of things from past sessions, mainly last session, as well as some new things. So there's some things you may not recognize on there, and I can answer questions about those. And this is a starting point. I've got all the background materials I'm putting into packets. Typically, when the legislators come in and you all come in, you all have a packet. We'll run, Commissioner Mielke as the chair will run the meeting. He'll do introductions. He'll kind of take us through each issue, and then I'll have the key staff there on hand so that we're not kind of grasping for words and making guesses. But I'll actually, if there's an issue on here that has a particular staff member from the county assigned to it, I'll try to get those folks there so we can speak clearly and concisely and use the legislators' time wisely. So just kicking down the list very quickly, a couple of the in under context for the session, right? Another tough session. There's not a lot of money. The general fund's going to be strapped. There's not going to be money going out for new things. They've got Supreme Court decision on McCleary to deal with. They've got a new initiative on education to deal with. So what we're really trying to focus on, I think, this year is some things that we were very close on last year. Some things that we got some of and maybe not all of last year, as well as a couple of bills we know are going to come about and impact us, mainly the two marijuana things you see there, both on the medical marijuana side of things as well as the shared revenue on the recreational side of things. Commissioner Mielke just mentioned that from the meeting this morning. We anticipate the legislature to do something with both those, and we want to be at least in the know and involved on how those will impact us. The other two I mentioned that we got some of last year, you'll remember we had the stormwater fee as it related to WashDOT. That was kind of an interesting one. As it turns out, the State Department of Transportation pays a reduced stormwater fee, and then it goes into a pot of money which can then only be spent on stormwater-related facilities associated with WashDOT projects. So they do pay some fee, although it's a limited fee, and then when they do pay the money in, we have to hold it, and it's very inflexible on what we can spend it on. So last year we did some work and actually got it in. We actually got it put into law, but only temporarily, that we could that we had a little more flexibility with that funding. I think we'd like to make that permanent, that change that we got. The Conservation Futures one as well, I think that's a good bill, and I think we'll work on that again. It allows more of the Conservation Futures funding, but what the state tries to do is limit the amount we can use on maintenance of existing owned parcels. And so Conservation Futures money, as you know, comes in,
We use it to purchase property, sensitive property, property that it is good for public use. And the problem with that is such a small amount can be used for maintenance that as the program goes over time, jurisdictions are purchasing properties. It's a good idea. They have these properties, but there's such a limited amount of funding. I can't remember the exact percentage, but it's a very small percentage of the total that you bring in you can use for maintenance. So we've tried to increase that, I think, to 15%.
I think we've used our maximum amount.
I think you're right.
Allowed, and with no more maintenance money, we're unable to take on any more conservation future land.
It really limits us with the portion of land we have.
Yeah, it's currently 15, and we're hoping to go to 25.
Yeah, it's something like that, and I have that in the backup materials because we ran the bill last year, so we've got it specifically outlined. I already talked about the marijuana stuff. There's a couple of new things in that middle section there on capital budget. I've got write-ups for these. You're familiar with Salache Prairie Railroad, you're familiar with Heritage Farm Irrigation System, and last year we did support and push for the CDM services. Michael Wilson's come back, he's asked that the board, the second thing I handed around with a letter that includes the Bridgeview Employment and Education Center, Community Home Health and Hospice project, and the Salvation Army project. I know you guys aren't as aware with those projects because they're new, and so I'm not asking for you to sign off on them, support them today or even on Friday. I circulated a letter that gives you a little more information about them so that you're aware that we have been asked to support those. Right now, I don't see any problem with us supporting those. I think they sound like good projects for our county and community, but we'll take some time over this month to decide kind of where we want to come down. And I've drafted a letter to the legislators supporting those projects should you decide that you want to kind of weigh in on them. The big thing, I think, for us this year, with the session being the way it's set up, is the possibility of a transportation package. There continues to be rumors about if and when or will it happen. Will there be a gas tax and will there be a projects and where will those projects shake out? So 10th Avenue and 179th, we've got a lot of materials on that we want to circulate to the legislators on Friday. We sent letters last year. I assume we'll send letters next year. But, you know, we want to do everything we can to get to finish 10th Avenue. That's a $35 million bridge. It connects, you know, our west side on the Discovery Corridor, comes in behind the amphitheater. We really need that to get finished. And 179th is probably, you know, our biggest priority in terms of economic development. It connects in with 10th. It opens up all kinds of land. We've got private side partners up there that are ready to go and put in infrastructure and projects that could bring as many as 9,000 jobs. And so it's There's a lot out there depending on 179th, and so whatever we can do to make that a priority, we need to. And I think the transportation package side of things is going to probably be what we spend the most time on this session and trying to really get 179th up there.
This piece of paper is what we're going to share Friday morning.
Yeah, that's kind of a start. That was kind of the starting point. That's the kind of what I thought. That's what I'm building the supplemental materials behind, and that's why I'm showing it to you. If there's anything else you want me to put in there,
is new to us.
Yeah.
Probably new to our budget manager.
Well, the only real brand new things are those three capital requests that we've been asked to look at. And Michael Wilson committed to come in. He can talk about them. I think most of the other stuff we've at least discussed in past legislative sessions.
I'm not familiar at all with C, D, or E here.
Those are what I just mentioned. Those are brand new, and like I said, they are coming to you. They're brand new requests for capital for capital requests in the capital budget.
Where do they come from? Where do those?
They come from these individual nonprofits.
Who do they appeal to?
So the nonprofits are able to request.
They serve senior citizens.
Yeah, I just mean where did they direct them? Did they direct them to the county here, or are they directing them to the others?
They will direct their. Commissioner Milkey knows how the process works, but
we actually have one of their facilities just up the street from us here.
Yes.
Yeah, but that doesn't explain process. How they came to be on our lobby priorities.
Yeah,
that's right. And so that's the question, is that every year there's so many capital requests of the capital budget from our community, from
Clark County. These happen to be six of those. Three of them last year, Shalashi Prairie Railroad, which is ours. I mean, we own the railroad. Heritage Farm, also ours. CDM Services, you guys went and toured. That's a nonprofit that serves citizens in our community. You guys collectively last year, after touring that facility, decided that it was a good project and you wanted to support it. So we sent a letter supporting it. These other three are new ones this year, and that's why I said we haven't taken a position on them. You don't have to take a position on them. I gave you a letter which gives some information. We've been asked to support them as a county.
Okay.
Well, what I'm thinking is that what I'm interested in is process, because this is the last public meeting before the legislative session. This is the first time we've seen them, and the process, I would think, going forward in the future for next year would be that we'd be ahead of this.
Yeah.
We'd, as a elected body here, go over these requests, consider them, be very informed, and then we're in a position to participate in a much more insightful way. Right now, these are requests that are coming in a way of kind of slipping it in, and we're skipping process.
We can take them off the list, and I can only bring them to you when I get asked. So I first heard about this probably 2 weeks ago, just before Thanksgiving. I met with them. I met with Michael Wilson. We went over them. And like I said, I'm not trying to get the board's support on these. I'm just trying to bring them to your attention.
I think it's important to explain what the capital budget is.
Yeah.
The capital budget is part of, in my definition, a slush fund from the Olympia that funds things in your community to buy in favor. And that's okay, you know, if it comes to our community. It has been squeezed down because there's not a whole lot of money in that pot. As they balance their budget, I expect that to even become smaller. So there's nothing wrong for us to ask for anything and everything here in behalf of our community. It's just part of the process of what goes on in Olympia, and it's a separate budget of its own.
So, Commissioner Melky, what I'm interested in is enough detail on these that I could prioritize these.
Yeah.
Not me, but the Board of County Commissioners, before we would urge our state legislators to fund these, because on a couple of these, I know they've been very heavily funded by City of Vancouver last year in their lobbying, and so I'd want to see how that whole funding, you know, what the whole funding package is, and what before we would want to actively lobby for that.
So maybe I think ask you to touch base with Vancouver and see which ones they have on their list. If they haven't, maybe we should have something else on ours.
Well,
even
then, I would want to know more about each of these, including what they're asking us maybe to add our name of support for something for funding. I'd want to know how far down the road that project is, who else is contributing, and so on.
And I think, Commissioner, that's a great point. And I asked Mr. Wilson that when I met with him. I said, you know, we've got some from last year, we've got some from this year. They're all great projects, probably, you know, but how do they compete with one another, or do they? Are some farther along? So there's more information to gather, and I think the prioritization thing is really important. So I'll get that information.
I would encourage you to share whatever you have on these, because we have between now and Friday morning for us to be able to get behind them. My reservation in this has nothing to do with whether or not they're good projects. Is that process would be, these would come forward, we would be involved in doing the homework on these, participating in it so that we can either prioritize something else ahead of this or make this ahead of that, and we're in a position where we believe in it so we can help convince others to support these things. There's a couple of other projects that I'm interested in. One, we had a transportation package that included not only the 10th Avenue but also the 179th Street interchange. But there's a longer list. For instance, the widening of SR 14 between I-205 and 169th Avenue to turn that into four lanes each direction. There's those kinds of things.
What's the state package, though?
It
wouldn't be ours.
I think we got together the RTC on that, and we had some of the city projects in there, and some of the counties, and some of the states.
Yep.
And they were all mingled together with no priority on them.
And that letter will be included in your materials tomorrow. I didn't give you everything just for time. And then, you know, I don't know how much we wanted to discuss that, but we also, I spoke with each of you a while back, but the Clark County Transportation Alliance has that list, and I know we have some issues with some pieces of this, mm-hmm. but part of the list from the letter we sent, and I think the project that Commissioner Medora mentioned is on there, it's kind of how do we want to, again, this year formally support and advocate for the other projects in our community. And last year we did it with that letter.
Yes, and... please do email that in an edible format. For instance, last night we had our CTRAN board meeting, and with that, we want to support public transit, but with the provision that a vote of the people is respected in those major projects of streetcar, trolley, light rail, and bus rapid transit. Don't just throw money at a community when the community has voted against it multiple times. If the community supports it, then we support funding. So I'd like to be able to make sure that we don't end up with a piece of paper that says, oh, yeah, by the way, fund light rail, and we're sending the wrong message. Somehow I see that we're not ready. Next year we have to be weeks ahead of this in order to make sure that we are, that we invest this so that we can go forward we've done our homework ahead of time. One of the other bills that I'd like to be able to see our local delegation sponsor, again, it would be a significant plus for the citizens of Clark County, would be for the RTC, the Metropolitan Planning Organization, to allow our local delegation to have a vote on there. Right now, Metro, Portland Metro, ODOT, WashDOT, CTRAN are outvoting even their elected representatives. And our own delegation has no vote at all. And that could be changed by our legislature. And I believe that all of our local delegation would support that. We got to make sure that we don't forget about that, that somehow the citizens are represented through their representatives rather than those that are unelected.
So did we join with the Transportation Alliance in signing their lobby agenda?
Or
did
not.
We adopt it as our own?
We have not.
Thank you.
Axel, when is our next meeting with Mike Burgess?
Well, he'll be here Friday, and then we'll start meeting with him regularly.
We have a private meeting with him also, I believe. We have a breakfast meeting, and then we have a meeting after that.
Well, he'll be here with us. He'll join you all at the legislative breakfast.
Yeah.
But we did not plan to meet with him ahead of the 9:30.
Okay. Well, normally we have him in here, and we kind of talk about our agenda.
Yeah.
And I know that we had a rough agenda put forward. I don't think we finalized the list. So maybe soon we might go connect up with them.
Yeah, I spoke to him today. We went over this together today.
So when was the last time the commissioners had a one-on-one with our state lobbyist?
When was the last time Mike was down, Mark? Do you remember?
6 weeks ago.
Yeah, a couple months ago.
Oh, so that's before I came. Mm-hmm. So I see. Thank you.
I'm glad to see that Senator Ann Rivers is in support of four of these
Well, that was who we drafted it to, Commissioner.
Oh.
And just to reiterate, I know those three are new, and the intention was not on Friday to support those. The intention was to let you know we've been asked to support them and to get more information about them. And that just happened.
I would like to encourage us to have all of Southwest Washington delegation sign on to something like this?
Absolutely. And if you remember the CDM services one that we did last year, we signed on in support of that project, and then they were able to get the whole delegation to sign on to that project, and that was the model they used. Whether we go that route with these new three or not, we'll see. I'll get more information about their new projects.
Session starts around the 20th of January, is that right?
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll find in the 1st of February at the latest. They'll meet with Mike.
Oh, yeah, we'll meet with him before then. Okay. We'll start meeting with him regularly come after Friday.
All right. Okay.
All right. Now we...
Me. All right. I'm going to speak to my my amendment here. The charter speaks of our administrator following the governance of its board of councilmen, and specifically it says under the details of the duties of the manager is to supervise all administrative departments established by the charter or created by the council, which means that it's expected that the council is the policy and the creator of those things that we have within our ordinances and the structure of the county. One of the things that we looked at when we looked at this is not that we wanted to control anything, it is that we recognized that only one department was recognized in our ordinance, and it was the budget department. And I thought that was pretty strange, because we're made up of several departments, and they work very well together, and they act as checks and balances to one another. It could always be changed afterwards. We have that right to change it back or forth. The difference is, after the charter, after January 1, only 100 signatures will delay any operation or of the county going forward. For example, if we wanted to omit some of those, 100 people sign on a piece of paper, and it has to go onto the ballot in November. That puts us at a standstill for reorganizing the county. So it's important that we recognize what we have today has been very, very successful, and it has checks and balances within it. One of the things that we have to recognize is that it's big, and you don't shove everything underneath one tent. And it being big like that, it has a way of creating those checks and balances. The other thing I noticed on this, it affects other elected officials. So by the actions that we do here and the creation of the departments, it affects other departments. And I think that's why Peter is here to speak in behalf of those other elected officials. I've already mentioned that the charter recognizes the Board of County Council to be responsible for the structure. Some of those that I mentioned here: Health Department, Public Works, Community Services, Environmental Service, Budget. They're huge. The Health Department alone is huge. And they're so huge that each one has its own budget person for that reason, because they're complex. Can I answer any questions here? The bad thing I have noted here, that the Columbian has painted this along with Lou Brancaccio as me doing this for the benefit of Don Benton. And it's no farther from the truth than it could ever be. And to think that we'd change our direction of protecting the county in its operation and its structure for an individual is false. I think it's important to bring that out and say that. This isn't one department. This is no less than 7 or 8 departments that are or could be included in any reorganization. And reorganization of that structure is huge, and while we're responsible for that, we all need to be at the table to address that if there's going to be changes. question?
Not right this minute. So
you said Peter Van Ordwick has an opinion on this?
Yeah, I mean, because one of the things is we've been reading the newspaper about reorganization, but nothing's been said to any of us. Nothing's been said to our employees. Our employees coming and asking about it. I'm hearing Central IT, IES, IS is getting reorganized. A lot of that stuff directly impacts us and how we go about, you know, doing our business. Obviously, GIS, there might be moving in GIS, which is obviously something I work really closely and keep partners with. And, you know, any talk of any changing, any reorganization of anything out there that impacts our offices and our processes that cross these different departments, we obviously want to, you know, make sure that, number one, we're informed ahead of time exactly what's going on, how it impacts the processes, how it impacts the agreements that we have with the commissioners. For example, like with GIS, the agreement we have with the commissioners in terms of land records included in GIS, even though that is a function of mine, required under the state law, so we have that agreement that's signed. Anytime any sort of changes like that are happening that impact our duties, we want to make sure that, you know, we're at the table, we're hearing, we have a say, and we're working through the entire process to make sure that any changes is done in a smart manner that doesn't impact unknowingly processes and with the elected officials. So that's mainly what I wanted to.
So, you know, that's right, rightly so, with your connection with the assessor and the auditor's office as well. The clerk, you know, you wouldn't go back and recognize or combine the prosecuting attorney or the sheriff's department or the treasurer's department. They all work in conjunction with each other. And to think that they could be combined, I'm not quite sure how you can combine the assessor and the treasurer or the treasurer and the sheriff's department, and that's what we're looking at here. The health department is very, very different from the GIS.
The charter only speaks to departments that belong to the county council. The charter doesn't say that the county manager can combine the assessor and the treasurer because they are separate executives.
I didn't say that.
Oh, I thought you did. Sorry.
No, I read from the charter of what the role of the manager would be, and that would be to recognize and minister those things created by the council.
Yeah, but you had mentioned it wouldn't make sense to combine the assessor and the treasurer.
I'm just using it for an example of each one is very important within itself. While they work, while they're independent of themselves, they do work in combination with each other.
Yeah.
So
I got it.
I do hear the point that with this charter coming on board, it leaves a lot of uncertainty. And even though you will continue to fill your role, it sounds like you rely on some existing county departments for support in one way or another.
Yeah, there's a lot of functions that are simple.
Yeah, that are integrated, that you jointly use or whatever. And so I think the lack of information leaves more uncertainty and more difficulty. It's my understanding that we're trying to work through, and apparently I haven't had this conversation yet with Mr. McCauley, but there are some departments or roles or functions that will be changed or merged or eliminated. That leave some uncertainty. So is it that uncertainty?
It's that uncertainty because you talk about departments, and we were hearing about reorganizations through the grapevine, which we haven't been told about, which are actually central to some of the functions that we have in our office. And so obviously anytime you're doing that, you're saying, where's our input? If you are going to even change process, you know, combine departments, and we have processes that go through those departments, you know, at least some discussion in terms of, you know, how is it going to work, who's going to do the job, who do we forward the information to now, the existing processes. Want to make sure that nothing moves forward too rapidly that doesn't allow time for those discussions and everything to be made.
So that sounds to me like not an organization issue except in the communication of what will change and when, so that you can have your input in time to make sure your functions are preserved. So I think the other issue is here, specifically within the county structure, is there any benefit to what you're offering? And I take you, when I see the departments that you listed, I wouldn't even consider an ordinance that was department-specific to preserve a job or a department. I wouldn't even want to hear about it. I wouldn't be interested in that. There is some... Let me start from the beginning. So what the citizens told us with the charter is that they wanted to be more confident that the county had some balance. And they, in their mind, through this charter, they believed that that balance would be created by there being sort of a more profound separation between the commissioners and the county administrator. The reason for that is balance. That's what the citizens told. The way I interpret the charter is they wanted a balance and a cooperation and a respect. And I think they're right about that. I think it's important that that be demonstrated. So my concern, though, about what the charter did is really empowered all in the hands of the county administrator and left a different role for the county commissioners. And I think I'm a little uncomfortable that that didn't balance the power. I mean, I have some concerns about that. Where the balance of that can come is sort of in the proof of what the county manager can do and how he does it. So one way to do this is to maybe codify, or whatever we would call it, certain departments to ensure they're preserved. On the other hand, then I'm uncomfortable that if in your best judgment there needs to be some merger or some elimination in order to maintain our budget goals, well, our financial feasibility, in other words, that I would not want to see your hands tied, that you couldn't do that. So I see some value in this, and I'm trying to figure out where this road is that the citizens have asked us for, which is a balance. And how can we best get there? So, in a way, this offers the potential for some balance, but I don't even know if those are the most logical departments to be separated out. On the other hand, I think that the charter was written to give you that authority. So, what do we do, and would this even be the tool? I'm not sure yet.
It says established by the charter or created by the council. And it doesn't mean that the council can't come back and reorganize. We can still come back and have a collective effort to reorganize, and then our administrator would administrate what he needs to do there. But under the organization and the structure of the county, we're very, very successful, and I think it needs to be a team effort. Without this, there wouldn't be a requirement of team effort. only in one department.
So from a legal standpoint, this ordinance, in your estimation, if we approved it, would it even be binding?
Well, the ordinance, in terms of establishing departments, the charter does give you the authority to establish departments and make policy. If it crosses the line between the legislative function that is charged to the council or councilors, it will be found to be invalid to that extent. To the extent it makes policy and doesn't interfere with the duties that were charged to the executive branch, then that court will interpret it that way. The only comment I guess I would make substantively about it. First, I thought it was on for notice. Is it actually going to be voted on today?
No.
Okay. It's only for the 16th.
It's
for approval
notice.
Of the notice today.
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
We moved it to the board so that we'd actually have a forum where we could all talk about it in a public forum.
But there's one department I think you want to rename if you choose to go forward in. The department you've called community planning, the functions you've listed under that are actually the functions of community development. So I would only point that out.
Never said I was perfect.
No. And I'm not the commissioner. I'm only saying that just to help.
Yeah.
We don't want to codify it in that form. But so I think that's the way a court will say, or a court will review this. The court will look to the fact that you have the authority to make policy, and if you say that the functions that these departments provide are critical functions for the local government, that is a policy statement that you can make. How far that goes is sort of unknown because the ordinance doesn't really say what happens or what must happen within these departments, so it creates a little bit of a question.
That,
and that's
that is expected to be our administrators, our managers.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Mark, did you have some feedback?
Another question? Okay, so I assume that this will be on the agenda Tuesday?
It is, unless we remove it here today.
I don't think I'm hearing that.
Well, we're going to discuss it again, and then we'll vote.
You know, once this is there, it's easy to remove it or remove parts of it. But if it's not there, you can't plant it there without showing more.
Well, and we have a limited time that we could put it forward if we think it's a good idea.
Well, no, if you put it forward after January 1.
I understand that.
Okay.
I'm
not offering any assurance about how I'm going to vote on it.
Mm-hmm. No, of course. We have one hearing next Tuesday. Between now and the first of the year, unless you want another one, and there's no problem with that. We have the 23rd available and the 30th available. Okay.
Yes, and the fact that there's a hearing does not imply how well that hearing is going to turn out. That's the purpose for a hearing is not only for us to be able to deliberate about it, but it's also mm-hmm. be able to allow the public to come in and be able to share their feedback about whatever we're going to do. That's what a hearing is, right?
Yeah, but I wanna make it clear that I would even consider it does not in any way diminish my confidence in the manager. Mm-hmm. It's not to undermine or diminish our professional manager in any way. Mm-hmm. And that's why it would be a policy and not a prescription.
Correct.
I agree. Whatever it is, it needs to be thoughtful and respectful.
Yes.
Certainly, I understand, Mr. Assessor, any time we have potential changes on the horizon, we've got a new form of government in front of us. There's always opportunity for change that we'll all have to navigate through together thoughtfully. you know, one of the best things we can do is make sure that we're communicating really well. And for the potential for change doesn't imply that change is going to happen, but we need to make sure that we welcome the opportunity to do things smarter and don't presume it's going to happen one way or another. I have a lot of confidence in our county administrator's judgment, and I related that in public. And I think we'll continue between now and the end of the year and after that to communicate one-on-one and just simply to make sure that our roles on this are positive and that we build up the team and we don't cause instability or fear. That's one of the challenges that a new leader has, is to ensure that the team has good morale and that they're not fearful. So I have confidence that we can entrust that and that the team would be in good hands.
Okay. And we need to realize, you know, imagine you're the county administrator going to be county manager. That's where the pressure cooker is, because he's the one that has to bring together and merge in all these. So I don't underestimate how difficult that is, how much coordination it takes, and how long it takes to get all that in place. I don't underestimate that.
I think, David, one of the things, too, we got to look at what we do at the beginning sets precedence for what may happen for the next 100 years in the county. And, you know, Fred someday may be county manager, and Fred comes in, and all of a sudden he decides to make sweeping changes, and there's precedence for him doing that, and it impacts the other elected officials, and, you know, somewhat... You know, if you have it in code and it has to go and it has to be changed, it kind of slows the process down, because if a reorganization makes sense, and, you know, with everyone, all of us within the executive branch there, look at it and say, hey, this is what really would be good to make it the county be more efficient and move forward, we should be able to convince the council that that's the right way to go.
Yeah, I'd say Fred was a bad hire.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that, you know, there's that potential down the road. We have to really be cognizant of what we do here could be setting the stage for, you know, whether or not the charter is successful or isn't. And the early days are going to be very important in that.
Under the charter, the elected officials kind of take the role of the guy riding the train. You wouldn't allow them to blow the whistle or steer the train, but let it leave the track and see who gets the blame. Okay, with that, we'll move on. Commissioner reports, do you have anything in addition to?
I have too much to report, so I'll just show mercy.
You want to do that on the 30th?
Exactly.
I won't something. Be here. Chris, while you're here, I just want to have a status report of how we're doing with our injunction with CTRAN to ensure that they follow process, that they uphold the law.
Commissioner, I've indicated it at the direction of the board that we went out and did some research to look to a person who works in this particular area, and we've identified a single individual. There needs to be an investigation to verify the facts that support the lawsuit, mm-hmm. and we know we have a quick timeline that the board wants this done before, well, in a timely fashion. I mean, we've discussed some of the timelines, mm-hmm. and we're working towards that. We're not completely in control, but we passed that information, and so we're going to operate under those kind of deadlines, but we will not be filing the lawsuit. We've discussed that with you, and the best I can tell you is there's a process we have to go through, and we're going through it right now, just file it. I'm not going to be filing it.
In other words,
our council.
Our county council won't be filing.
Correct. Right. I'm going to have contact with the attorney from Olympia that will be handling this matter, and then they'll actually be commencing an action.
Sure. As of last night at 9:30, their heads were down and they were driving forward and they felt they were in the right. They were, even though everything was brought to, shown to them. So, and they were actually telling us to get our delegates, notify them who our delegates are going to be.
The two. So. They say two. So they're moving ahead at CTRAN currently as though there's no legitimate question about their public notice of the special meeting for the board composition committee. And so this contracted legal will actually do the research, put the information together to determine if the facts support or not that they failed to meet the 20-day notice.
There's more than just a time period notice requirement. The time period, there's a notice requirement for meetings of the composition review committee.
Yes.
They have their own independent notice provisions, but the notice provisions that are the most important are the notice provisions for special meetings under 4230, and those relate to both notice and notice as to time, but also parties and the information
content.
That's provided, content.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll be looking for all of those in all of those areas.
Yes.
And our target is an injunction to stop the process until we move forward with anything else.
Well, very likely, again, not to foreclose the alternatives, but very likely it could take the form of a declaratory judgment action and an action for some type of injunctive relief to preserve the status quo until a decision can be made.
Yes.
And I just want to make sure that clarification, you said we will not be filing a lawsuit, and what you really mean to say is the county will not be the party filing the lawsuit, but the intention is to engage an outside law firm who will be filing the lawsuit.
Correct. And the prosecutor's office will not be
yes.
filing it. That's
okay.
Correct.
In behalf of the county.
Correct.
That's right.
And last night, we were right up against the clock. The meeting wrapped up at 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. when the library was supposed to be out of there by 10 p.m. at the library. And so we went to executive session, came right out of there, and they rush, quick, say something, Jeff Hamm. And so to meet the 30-day notice requirements to amend the bylaws, Jeff Hamm rattled off, I just want to give public notice, 30 days notice, that we're going to be modifying the bylaws.
They're going right into the modification of the bylaws in January. The farther along they get with all that, the
sure.
more difficult it becomes.
And so what I did, amidst the confusion, because everybody was up in the league and everything, but we're still in open.
The chairman and you, and everybody else was standing up stacking chairs.
Yes, and so I took the opportunity at that point, still in public meeting, to ensure that Jeff Hamm, the board, knew that the public notice criteria from for that meeting it was in question. And I asked Jeff Hamm, I said, if I email to you the specific point-by-point-by-point criteria that is specified in that RCW that says here's what's supposed to happen to properly notice this special meeting, will you respond to each one of those to show how you met that criteria? And he said, absolutely, I'd be happy to do that. So I'll be sending that to him and provide the opportunity for CTRAN to be able to show how they in their eyes, met that criteria. And so we certainly welcome that, because the idea here is to just simply follow valid process. And if we need to do this again and do it right, then that's a valid process.
But he did insist equivocally or unequivocally
there you go.
That
we're going forward.
CTRAN was well within the 20-day period and that they had filed proper notice and they had no question about it. And they intended to continue on with the bylaws
sure.
amendment and reduction of number of commissioners.
And I assume that injunction has to restrict the CTRAN board from amending those bylaws to conform with the outcome of the committee meeting, because if those bylaws get amended and then something happens that says, you know, that you're responding to a meeting that according to this RCW is null and void, then we're in trouble. We need to somehow ensure that that process, those bylaws, can only validly be changed when you follow that process. So time is really important. I believe that's January 12th.
So, well, do I understood that is that they would legally pass the bylaws, but their action to get that far was illegal. And I don't think the law requires them to reverse what they passed.
Well, the goal certainly would be to assure that you can't take further steps down the path that makes a prior action, if the court were to conclude it was illegal, moot, and to essentially take away any effective relief. I mean, the goal in any injunctive action is to preserve the status quo so a party is not further injured as a result of this. So the goal, we can't speak for the court. Obviously, this is a discretionary action on behalf of the judge. But, yes, the goal certainly would be to stop further action on the bylaws until such time as the court has had an opportunity to rule on the legitimacy of the meeting and the meeting notice.
Related to that also, I didn't notice this until just shortly before the meeting. The decision that was voted on in the Composition Review Committee, that particular motion specified exactly what representation was to come forward to the CTRAN board. What is being proposed to modify the bylaws is a different combination. And I didn't notice that. It paired up Yakult with Battleground. That's what got voted on at the Composition Review Committee. The bylaws are being proposed that Yakult goes with the Center and Ridgefield.
I think it was the other way. I think they had them paired up with the Center, Ridgefield, and the change would put them back with Battleground. Anyway,
well, but you're saying it's inconsistent.
It's inconsistent. Battleground has their own seat, which would be good for Battleground, but it's inconsistent with the decision that was voted on. So that would be, I would assume that
when they look at this, they'll look at all of those issues and ask the court to correct. Assuming that the decision is left intact, they would certainly look to whether or not, even as it is intact, whether or not.
What does it mean?
Well, what is whether or not you can change that configuration as a result of this motion that would go with the bylaws.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Chris.
You're
tangled web.
Into executive session material.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Do you have anything else? I'm sorry.
No. No, thank you.
Mark?
Yes, sir.
Pauline? Peter?
At last week's meeting, you had questions about the lease term for the county-owned property out on Septon Drive, and that's a 10-year lease that started in 2010.
Yes.
So I didn't know if there were follow-up questions or issues, if you wanted me to follow up with that.
What was the term of the lease?
10 years.
10 years.
It's got 6 years to go.
Yeah.
But they have things that they have to comply with.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So
and I think they've been given notice, so we just have to follow up and see if they're coming into compliance.
And I believe there was a code enforcement issued out there a
couple times.
And I believe they have filed for a permit to correct those issues.
Great. Great.
If that's the concern.
Axel, do you have anything? Oh, I'm sorry. Were you done?
One thing that came up this morning, and I mentioned code enforcement for marijuana issues in the unincorporated areas and zone enforcement, and Marty is heading up a meeting with code enforcement. If we're going to include Jeff from the meeting this morning, the detective,
good,
to get code enforcement enabled so that they can go out and address
that's
these
issues.
That's
really a confusing thing.
Mm-hmm. And so it's not a legality issue for marijuana, but it's a code enforcement issue for our department, so we want to make sure they're equipped to go do that. If they need law enforcement escort, then
right.
they can do that.
It's not against the law, it's against code.
Yes.
And I'd be interested, somebody maybe being in that meeting that takes notes, and just give us a paragraph. It doesn't have
yes.
to be a...
Yeah. And I wanted to summarize that particular point. As I understood that this morning, what was it, Luke? What's Shane Gardner's position? Lieutenant, or I don't know.
Sergeant. Member.
Okay. Is what he conveyed is that the sheriff, if they respond to a 911 call and they see it's a code violation or some kind of land use or something, that they cannot somehow work with code enforcement.
Right.
But the invitation can start with code enforcement, and that they can invite the sheriff, but the sheriff can't invite the other way around. So it's our initiative. So sheriff is there as a backup, as a resource to be tapped, and that's good. So
in case the civil side turns into a criminal side.
Okay. Yeah.
Good point.
And just one other thing I want to make sure the commissioners were aware of. Margaret Kolf Hepla passed away this weekend.
Yes.
That'll be on the front page of the Reflector when we get it this week, I believe. And
Parks
she
champion,
was on
right?
she was on one of our cemetery districts, and she's like the patron saint of North Clark County.
Yes.
For lack of a better word. But she was on one of our cemetery district boards, yes. and that created a vacancy, which also created a unique situation. Normally, if it's a three-member board that's elected. If there's one vacancy and there's two members, those two members then appoint that third vacancy, so the county doesn't have to do anything. But if there's only one member left and there's two vacancies, the county legislative body, the council or commissioners, wherever you are at the time, have to appoint one of the members so that the two members at that point can appoint the third vacancy.
Right.
Yeah, she was older than I thought.
So we advertised for that vacancy and sent out a notice.
I thought she was around 90 years old and she's 97.
Wow. Okay. So they don't have a quorum. Do they have any end of year business to do?
Yeah, they had a budget stuff.
Is that supposed to be done before the end of the year?
I'll check with the existing members. See what, see if that was completed.
You know, talk to Willie in my office. He's been... talk to me about a little bit.
Okay, so it's a three-member board. They only got one member.
No, there's only one member remaining.
So if they're supposed to have their reports or whatever done by the end of the year, it sounds like we better expedite this process and get this appointment done before, so that they have time to do their work.
Yeah.
Didn't you say, Peter, they have two?
No. Two vacancies.
Two vacancies.
Yes.
They already had a vacancy.
They had a vacancy that was unfilled, and nobody ran for it last year.
I think that falls under the manager's responsibility.
It will
in January, yes.
Well, we
not
drag,
still
drag our feet.
It's actually RCW-driven. The state code in this case says the county legislative body is responsible for the appointment. So I think it would fall even in your lap even after the first year.
So that's already been advertised, or it's in process for the reflector?
We sent out the notice yesterday.
Okay.
Thank you. That's very important.
Just make sure that Jennifer
absolutely
knows
everything else for us.
Okay.
Well, one thing came up this week that probably rises to your guys' level, but Peter reminded me of it with code enforcement question about marijuana. But you'll remember we the 16th is a lofty agenda, and one of the things in there is wrapping up all the surface mining overlay stuff and all the work that's been done around that. I got a phone call from Amy Hansen and some other members of the Livingston, Friends of Livingston Mountain. They want me to put together a meeting after the first of the year. They would like a commissioner there if one of you is interested, but with code enforcement and Marty to talk about the future of kind of code enforcement and monitoring. They know that there's nothing in the budget for an added position or anything for more for code enforcement right now, but they're interested in the budget process and they're interested in talking to the board about where we go from here with sort of those large conditional use permits and an actual, you know, person or method to code enforcement.
And I think our new manager will be able to put that together and organize that body.
Well, I raised it to the board because I told them I'd try to put something together.
Who is the new manager?
So I told them I would put something together after the first of the year with both, you know, budget and code enforcement, so they could understand the process, and they, you know, and that I would.
What I would encourage you to do would be for you, since you know so much about all of these, because you've been the guy to work with code enforcement to respond to each of these calls, work with Mark here and pull together whatever individuals that you think are so that you don't just go to that meeting and just listen and be surprised by what they're going to ask for. They're going to ask for tangible steps to enforce. It would be good to be able to go to that meeting and say, here's the homework we've already done, and here's the plan going forward that we're proposing. We think you'll like it, and that way you're going to actually make some useful progress, get some much more happy neighbors.
Okay.
And many of us have had individual conversations with multiple people that live in that area. I'll be glad to talk to you and let you know what some points they've raised to me are,
okay.
Which I'm sure you may already know, but just to cover the base.
Part of that enforcement is going to fall on the responsibility of the sheriff, whether or not we have an agreement that certain loads would be tarped. So that would have to be done to designated Mr. Manager.
Yeah.
And I assume that surface mining overlay adoption is just simply a consent item.
I believe it is, yep.
And they're not asking us to modify it.
No, I think it's...
They're good.
It's wrapped up and it's,
make light
it's
work
ready
it.
To go.
Okay.
And they'll all be together, so the package is what you'll be doing.
Great. Okay.
Mr. Administrator.
I have nothing, sir.
Bless your...
What?
Keep picking her. I have nothing either. So I guess...
Really? Wow.
Any do-over?
No, I make a motion, we adjourn.
I second that.
Then you have to make a motion for that. I've got it.
Okay.
Thank you. Like, yeah, that's me.